Welcome back to Kicking It with Danny and Donnie. Episode 62 is on tap, and we're going to go a little bit in a different direction today, Danny. And we've, of course, talked about doing an episode like this for a long time. Generally, of course, we talk about sports, we talk about shoes, we talk about current events. But I think this time it's due that we unplug from all of that and then really give our listeners a chance to hear what we've been through. And it's been over a year now since the proclaimed shutdown with COVID-19 and having to navigate through that. So I just want to start by saying that I've learned so much about myself throughout this last year. I've gotten to experience a lot of good days, some bad days sprinkled in, but that's with anyone. I just wanted to take this time to be vulnerable, be transparent, and let people know what's on our hearts. So I can't wait to dive in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the most important thing that we have to remember, when we do this podcast and we do anything, is at the end of the day, we're doing this for entertainment. We're doing this for the people who support us. We're doing this for ourselves, right? So to be able to, put ourselves out there, like you said, be vulnerable, be honest about what the last year has looked like, what it's felt like, because a lot of people feel this and a lot of people are afraid to voice their opinions on what they think about COVID and voice what they've dealt with and the struggles that they've gone through, because that's just not the fashionable thing to do all the time, right? A lot of people just want social media to be all positive and the airwaves to be all positive. And at the end of the day, that's just not the case. And that's just not, reality. So to be able to give ourselves the opportunity to, like you said, unplug and be honest and vulnerable and talk about these things, and also allow anybody who listens and supports us to hear us and what we've been through when we come on the airwaves every time and we talk about how good things are and the good things that are happening. But in reality, we go through it just like everybody else goes through it. And I think it's important to shine a bit of a light on overcoming struggles too, as opposed to just focusing on sports all the time. And I think it's good that we are able and have the platform to be able to do that.
Well said, first off. And second, you're so right. I think that it's easy, at least now, to try and find the things that are good, because that's what we generally, I would think, like to do as humans, just focus on the good. But at the same time, I think it's equally important to focus on the bad, because the moment you downplay at least your own struggles, at least from what I've learned, you're doing yourself a disservice, and you're also doing everyone else around you that you come in contact with a disservice. Because at least speaking for you, I know that whenever I'm around you, you're a joy to be around, in terms of bringing other people up. And that's when, of course, things are positive, or at least when you give that outward expression that things are. But the moment that you tell yourself, oh, it's not a big deal, what I'm going through, I'm being weak, or I'm being a baby, then you're literally diminishing yourself in front of your own eyes. And that's the scary thing. And that's one thing that hopefully, if you're listening to this right now and you're going through something, or you've been through something, at least in this last year specifically, you could just sit back and realize that you're definitely not alone. Like, that's so overstated in so many things when it comes to mental health and dealing with down days, but you're so not alone to anyone that hears this. And again, just to recap, at least, I guess, our first talking point, take me through what, went through your mind last year, because of course you were in the midst of your final year of tennis. You were on campus, things were great. What was going through your mind when you found out, one, that tennis was canceled, and then two, that we were all having to be sent home just like that?
Yeah, man, it's funny going back and trying to relive those feelings, because I am somebody who I really do pride myself on being able to handle adversity about as well as anybody can. Growing up in sports, dealing with a lot within my family and personal life growing up, struggle was kind of came normal. Struggle was just a part of my growing up. So, being able to handle that adversity and overcome it was something that I was, I was proud of myself for my ability to do so, right? So when things started to look a bit shaky, and people who remember on campus, I know this wasn't everybody, but a few days before the shutdown, we had a problem with our water on campus. And it was, we can't drink water, no practice because the well is contaminated. And, everybody's at the food line, the local food line, trying to buy water, right? Everybody's trying to make sure they have the water to brush their teeth and drink and whatever. And everything was washed out of the shelves. I mean, the shelves are empty with water. And I remember thinking, I'm like, man, what is this? It's like a pandemic's going on, like war's going on. Like, you know, when the millennium came around, right? People boarding up their windows. That's how it felt. So when that happened, I was already kind of feeling a bit strange. It just seemed a bit panicky. And then you think a few days later, you know, people starting to die randomly and then realizing what's going on. And then it's moving in and there's been cases seen here and cases here. And then things started to get canceled. And I just didn't really know what to do. I mean, I pride myself on handling adversity. And in this moment, I had no idea what to do. I had no idea what was coming. It was something completely unknown, something that none of us knew much about at all. All of us were throwing out, you know, baloney explanations for what we thought it was because everybody wanted to be the smartest guy in the room. But at the end of the day, my main thought was, what's going to happen to this season? You know, I didn't need to come back for that final season. I came back because I loved it. I came back because I had the opportunity to go to grad school and I got the opportunity to play another season because of eligibility rules. So I was thinking, man, like, I don't deserve this. Like, I don't deserve to have my career ended like this. Like, I was playing great. Our team was making a real turnaround, you know, after the indoor nationals for the first time. It was so many good things going on. And I thought, man, if my career ends like this, like, what a nightmare. And man, Donnie, I know you remember this. Everything happened so fast. I mean, the night after we played, or the night of us playing Catawba, I was very upset because our team did not have a very good performance. But I was very positive because we typically come back from those things. So then we waking up the next day, I went and had a conversation with coach like I typically do after our matches. And coach says, I don't know what's going on, man. It doesn't look good. This is at 8 o'clock in the morning. Fast forward to practice at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. And we're playing the first 30 minutes. We get a practice set in. And coach says, hey, guys, you know, everybody in. And I'll remember this like it was yesterday. When he said everybody in, I knew. Like, you know, people say this, oh, I felt it. No. I tell you the truth. I knew 100% my career is over. I already started shaking. I got goosebumps walking in. I took my towel. I put it over my head, you know, like Cam Newton does on the sidelines. And I'm like, man, the waterworks are coming. I knew it was over. And sure enough, you know, coach dropped the bomb. Hey, NCAA canceled everything, man. We're done. And it was just, you know, a shot to the heart, right? And then I immediately started thinking, well, what does this mean? Like, what's happening to the world? Like, we're all getting shut down. So obviously that was just such a weird experience. But man, when it happened, I just didn't know what to do, man. Like looking back at it, I just had no idea, right? Like we'd all hang out that night thinking, man, college is done for the semester. We're all gonna have to go home. Funny enough, we're all partying, right? Now you'd think, man, a party over six people is like federally looked down upon, like shouldn't do it. Back then, you know, I'll be honest, we had party 100 people probably celebrating what was such a fun season, what was a great career. You know, when are we gonna see each other? Like that's what it was, man, complete unknown. And I think that was the beginning of this newfound appreciation I have of being able to spend time with the people that you're closest to. I think that over the past year has been something that started on that day. Started on that day, man. Take every little thing. Don't take anything for granted and appreciate every moment because, I mean, how many times do we get to see each other in person for the next 8 months after that, 9 months after that?
Yeah.
But it started on that day. It really did. Just appreciating those moments because when that happened, like that 2 day span, it was the weirdest, most parallel universe thing I ever felt. And as an athlete and having my career ended like that, like you mentioned, it was obviously heartbreaking, but it quickly switched to, you know, God has a plan. I trust it. And I put everything possible into my career, into the university, into the program. So I, you know, nothing to really be upset about.
Every time you hear anyone's story, at least perspective wise, as to how it was for them when they went through this, I mean, it's, again, perspective is so key in any sense, and you can never have too much of it. And to hear your side of the story that I've heard before, obviously, I mean, we were just getting the podcast going. I think we had, you know, a little over 10 episodes in, not having to think twice about recording in person or recording online. To give some perspective on my end, the first moment that I actually had this in my mind was March 1st, 2 weeks before everything happened. My dad and I were going to a Bucks Hornets game in Charlotte, something that's tradition for our family the last 6-7 years. And my mom, who's very in tune with the news and reading everything she can on the web, was saying to us, don't go to this game. There's this thing called coronavirus. It's, you know, on the West Coast. It's gotten someone infected, whatever. And we're like, you know, understandably at that point, we're like, you're crazy. We're going to go to the game. We went, you know, I wouldn't say packed arena at the Spectrum Center. It was, you know, there were people there. It was a big, it was a, you know, Giannis was there. It was a star in the NBA. So, you know, you had more people come out, you know, didn't think twice about it. Thousands of people, whatever. We leave, everything's fine. Of course, that was our spring break. Went up to Tusculum with Trey and Sam for our women's game in the SAC quarterfinals. Everything was fine. Came back to campus that night and then left the next morning. Had the rest of my spring break. I mean, I was hanging out with friends. Everything was fine. Came back and my main thought was, at least for me, you know, all right, like now I can really shore up my skills. I had an internship lined up with the Charlotte Eagles to call some soccer games in the summer. And then I actually spoke with Garrett Bridgewater, who was an assistant coach, of course, for the Wingate men's soccer team. And he did stuff with Stumptown Athletic and Matthews, a new pro team, and asked if I wanted to fill in and be their broadcaster for a game. And not that it was, I mean, even like a, I would say a huge break, but that was a pro soccer match. At the time I was 19 and I'm like, okay, this is huge. So I remember the next day, that Wednesday night, I was prepping in Starbucks. I was getting ready for the game. Even the other day, a quick side note, I was scrolling through my Google Sheets looking for a game board to fill out. And I saw those from March of 20 and I didn't even open them because I knew it was going to bring back a lot of just, I mean, honestly, pain. Like I know that some things are smaller in comparison in terms of other things that are more permanent and more detrimental, but that really hurt. And then that night I remember checking my phone and that was when the NBA shut down. And for me, obviously, I know it's different for everyone. If something like that happens in the NBA, I don't think, I'm not going to say normal people, but in terms of like life that's not in pro sports, it's probably not good. If an organization with that much money, that much manpower, that much, you know, pull, it's not good. The next day is when they said to us, hey, you guys need to go home by Saturday. And I remember, I swear to God, I got that email and I'm like, that's it, I'm done. And I went to my final class of the day and I raised my hand and asked my professor, when are we going to come back? Like, what would be your guess? And he was like, and in that moment, I swear, in that moment, he's like, the best case scenario I see is you guys come back by August, like, and things are normal. And in that moment, I left, I went to my apartment, I texted a few of my friends, hey, you guys got to help me pack my car, I'm leaving tonight. I just had this moment of, I wouldn't say, it was kind of a freak out, but it was more just me numb. Like you said, what was next, you know? And at least my next plan was get out of here as soon as you can. And I packed my car to the max. I had people telling me, what are you doing? We're going to be back here next week. We're going to be back here in April. But this weird gut-wrenching feeling told me, no, just pack, man. And I'll never forget when I got home that night. I mean, I'll be honest, I was a mess in the car. I was calling friends. I probably called you at some point. Some friends that were seniors of mine, obviously, that weren't going to be back. And tears flowing, like, you know, I don't know when I'm going to see you again. It was just the weirdest thing. And then the moment I got home, my mom looked at me and said, Donnie, I wish you weren't home right now. And for those of you that know, I'm a huge mama's boy. And, you know, any weekend that I would be home, I could be home, I would be. And for her to tell me that right then and there, it was like, this is the weirdest thing that, at least for the time being and probably for a while, that we're ever going to go through.
Yeah, no. And it, you know, it is interesting, like you said, to hear the difference, because, you know, you are saying, you know, when you heard all this, you had a feeling that, you know, it was over and you wanted to pack and get out and get yourself safe and get home, because there was a lot of things being put out there. I mean, like, you know, for you talking about, it was the NBA shutdown. For me, I was in the office with coach and Duke had withdrew from the NCAA tournament. I'm like, what? Okay. If Duke's withdrawing, right, we know how powerful Duke Medical Center is, right? Like, they got to know something that we don't. So I thought immediately, oh yeah, we're screwed. Like, for sure, there's no way we're going to keep going. But when all that got shut down here at Wingate, I did have a feeling of gratitude, because I had a fantastic career. I had an unbelievable time at Wingate, so many friends. And my first thought was, man, I want to get as many people together as possible tonight and enjoy it, because I had a similar feeling to you of, I don't think we know how big this is. Like, me and Jones talked about it, Matt Jones, you know, one of my teammates, for those that don't know, we were talking about, man, like, this is probably big, man. Like, there's this doesn't happen very often. Like, if you live in the US, like, we're not exactly people who like overreact over like the flu or overreact over something like this. Like, we typically just keep it moving. And when you see like these things being shut down, it was this sense of, man, where do we go from here? And all I wanted to do was just cling to my friends. I just wanted to like have one good last night. because they did say that. I mean, it was what, Wednesday, right? And they're like, by Saturday, everybody's got to be gone. And it was,
I think
just,
it was a Thursday, and then Thursday. Yeah, Saturday night.
I just remember feeling like, what? Like, they're kicking everybody out. Like, how can they do this? Blah 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 blah. Like, more anger. Like, I was just angry, and before I knew it, everybody was gone. Before I knew it, I was taking pictures with, you know, guys on the rooftop of the parking lot at the airport, and they were going back home. Like, man, 2 days ago I was playing a match and everything was fine. 48 hours later, everybody's leaving. What do I do? What? And obviously, for those that don't know, like, I was in grad school. I was playing my fifth year. What does this mean for my degree? What does this mean? Am I going to see these people again? No more tennis, blah, blah, blah. How am I going to get a job during coronavirus? Like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, am I going to have to be stuck at home? I didn't want to, like, all these crazy thoughts. And yeah, I mean, it was a crazy time. Like, it, looking back, and what you said was very interesting. And then, you know, we'll move on to some, hopefully, slightly brighter notes. When you talk about your teacher saying, you know, the soonest we'll get back is August. I remember people honestly telling me, like, people in administration, I will obviously not call out names because they were blatantly wrong, telling me what you were thinking. Like, oh, no. Like, we're just canceling this, but we're still going to have a conference tournament. And, you know, don't leave. Got, like, fight the people. Try and stay on campus because, you know, we're going to keep doing things. You know, this is going to be blown over by May 1st. And you know, and then it was the summer's going to burn this away, the heat of the summer. And then, you know, we're going to have the vaccine by August. Like, all these things people were just throwing out there. And the panic for me never truly set in until everybody was gone. Like, when everybody was gone, I was sitting back in my house. I'm like, all right, time to scratch every plan I just had for the last 2 months. And now we start fresh. Now you're a freshman again. It's the real world now. And it was a trying time. I mean, it really was, just having no idea where to go from there.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned hopefully going into a more positive note. And I think for the sake of ourselves and for our listeners, we should. I will say that it also set in when I got home. Obviously, that night, it was still really numb. And I think I was numb for a while. But I think when I came back actually mid-April to get the rest of my stuff that I hadn't gotten in my car, my dad drove with me. You know, we took the van, just we had enough space. And we get here and campus safety lets me in. And I'm like, how many people are here right now? They're like, probably 15, 20. And that's where, when we were driving around campus and just looking around and even going into the building to get my stuff, I'm like, whoa. I mean, this is like a real life wipeout. I mean, it was. And to go back, of course, like I said, you know, going into quarantine, if you will, that's been so overused the last year. I was 215, 220 pounds, not really active at all. You know, I would try and quote unquote work out maybe once or twice a week. And even when I'd go, I'd have no structure. I'd have no end goal in mind. I would just go, you know, just to say, hey, I went to the gym. And for a while, I started to do just like ab stuff. I remember just, Donnie, do 100 crunches today, do 100 sit-ups, do 100 push-ups, whatever. I would do those, do squats, do this. Okay. After a while, I mean, I got so sick of it that I'm like, I can't do this anymore. My room was too small. It was too hot outside. There was too much pollen in Lexington. I'm like, you know what? Forget this. And it wasn't until actually our good friend Marquise posted a workout where he was like, do this many jump rope reps and then run a mile. And I'm like, run a mile? Oh my God, I can't run a mile. So then, you know, I do that. I run a mile. And if anyone even hears this, it's in my neighborhood. If you saw me run that mile that day, I'm so sorry, because that was one of the most struggling times I've been through as a human in terms of just doing something physical. I was so out of shape. I ran it probably like in 10 minutes and I finished it and I'm like, huh, and I'm done. But it was unsettling. It wasn't really like me saying I'm never running again. It was almost like that was different. Like I was so used to running in high school because I was being yelled at to run, or conditioning, or, you know, punishment. I never ran just for fun. I mean, I would look at people running on the side of the road and be like, you're psycho. But then after I got sick of those in-home workouts, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should just start running. And I would run a mile, I'd run 2 miles. And then after a while, I got to be about 2.5, 3 miles. And then one night I ran with my dad, and he runs at a lot slower pace. I mean, he's, you know, 56, 57 years old, but he was like, come run with me. So we ran like 4 miles. I was like, okay. And the next weekend I did 5, I remember. And I just kept going up and up. And this was like late April, pretty much early May. And then part of me got this idea in my mind. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to lose weight. And that's not something I think that a lot of guys per se struggle with as much as you'd think. But I think deep down, I can admit that I was one of them, where in that moment, I'm like, I don't need this these extra pounds. It's not doing me any good. I don't like how I look. You know, I've always been a positive guy, but deep down, I'm like, no, I can change this. And I'd always say when I was done with school or high school, I'm like, I'm going to lose this weight. I'm going to whatever. I'm going to cut. Yeah, right. But then in that moment, I remember hearing on All the Smoke, Matt Barnes was like, man, if you don't come out of this with a new skill or doing something with your time, then you wasted it. And at that time, we had no idea how much time that would be. So once I started doing that, I mean, come August, Danny, I was probably 190, 195. And it just, the weight kind of just fell off me. I mean, I would run for a while. I'd run late at night, and then I switched to early morning. And that calorie deficit, man, I mean, I'd run 4 or 5 miles a day, probably in July. And it was just clockwork for me. And then going through the fall, I obviously went back a little bit, but we'll touch on more things about why the fall was so good for me. But in terms of fitness, obviously, since you were an athlete, what was your adjustment like and what was your mental like when you obviously realized, hey, I can't play tennis anymore, but you still want to stay fit?
Yeah, man. Obviously, hearing that from you, like, you know, I don't want us to gloss over what your change was. Like, I think people need to truly recognize, and I think you, because of who you are not going to appreciate it truly, because that's who you are. You're a guy who looks to the front. I want to let the listeners know, before I get into my fitness journey, I remember when you messaged me one night, and I think I had ran that afternoon, actually, something like 5 3/4 miles. Like, I don't like to run long distance. Like, I'm not one of these people. You're not going to catch me running no half marathons. Like, I'll run a 5K or so, maybe a 10K if I'm feeling frisky, but like, I ran 5 3/4 miles and felt great. Ran at a decent pace, 8-minute pace or something like that, which for me, fantastic, right? And Donnie texted me that night, man, Danny, I ran 4 miles under 40 minutes. Like, man, it was sick. Like, and you're sending me the thing, 39 something. And I'm like thinking, man, this is fantastic. Like, this guy never was running 4 miles. Like, good for you, good for you. And thinking, like, in my head, like, wow, that's motivating. Like, I need to do it. Because when I am moving into my fitness journey, I was a college athlete, right? And an athlete for a very long time. And I'd like to say I was at a decently high level, right? And I was really proud of my work ethic. But in the beginning of that spring, when everything shut down, I had a very freak ankle accident that came from a chest bump at the end of a match.
Oh, boy. Landed. I didn't know if you wanted to bring this up.
Oh, yeah. And I rolled my ankle very badly. And it was very understated. I was told it was a sprain and I'd be back in a few weeks. And I was lucky, happy about that. But it was a serious ankle injury. I had, you know, micro tears and ligaments, and I was not going to let my career end that way. I was going to play. So I played through this season with my ankle heavily taped, heavily wrapped, braced up. So when everything got shut down, Donnie, I'll be honest, I had no urge to go work out. I wanted to rest my ankle finally. Like, it was so much pain every match, and I just tried to gut through it, but I didn't want to. I just wanted to give my body a break. So at the same time, when you decided I'm going to make this change, I was just trying to run to keep somewhat fit, just to keep some level of competition, some level of motivation. And, you know, for those that don't know, and I'm assuming a lot of our supporters do know, you know, that's when you started the sweat today, where, you know, you started posting videos running, and obviously you were not even running close to what you're running now at the speed you're running now, but it was just holding yourself accountable. It was just giving a little bit of a positive vibe to everybody who followed you. And, you know, I started getting in on it. Some of our other buddies started getting in on it. It was just kind of that team family atmosphere. Let's all get a little fit together. And that kept me in the right direction. And I still think to this day, obviously I don't work out as much. I'm not as, you know, diligent as I should be. And I'm, you know, trying now to get better, and I am, thankfully. But in those moments, like, having that group, having that family was so important. It was such a level of comfort. And I think that is one of the main reasons why those first few months after, we were able to stay positive because of things like that.
I want to say real quickly too, I mean, I remember when I started doing that, it really just kind of came naturally. I just realized that I was doing a lot in terms of fitness, in terms of what I've done in the past. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to put out a little post to sweat today, to do something different. And I started doing that, and I had people, you know, respond, I love this, this is great. And like you said, you know, you would get in on it. Sierra would get in on it. Chop, Julian, Josh, I mean, just to name a few, Mayor, I mean, so many people. And I remember one night, all the people that had told me, like, you know, this is cool, whatever, I did a video where I tried to like remember as many people as I could, saying like, shout out to this person, this person, this person. And that was the, I think, the community that we had been missing throughout this entire time. And that was like, okay, I hit a peak in that moment. Not that I peaked for good, but a peak in that 2-3 month period of isolation where I'm like, you know what, this is great. And I'd get up in the morning and I'd be like, you know what, if I don't run today and I don't post something, someone may reach out to me and be like, dude, what's going on? And I don't want that. I don't want to be looked at as someone that's a slacker. And you're so right though. I mean, it was just spur of the moment. And now it's been what, 7-8 months doing that more, and just second nature now.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, man. And it's one of the lessons, you know, before we started this podcast, this episode, I wrote down a couple of lessons that I thought were like important things to get across, you know, that were things that were really at the front of my brain throughout this entire process. And the one I have right at the top is focus on what and who is bringing you the most positive energy. And I think that's what happened. Like when it got to the point where like, I was the exact same spot as you. Like I woke up, drove 25, 30 minutes away into downtown to Freedom Park. For those who live in Charlotte, you obviously know Freedom Park. For those who don't, it's just a beautiful park in the middle of the city. And I would run there and I'd run the same path and I'd try and get a little faster. And I'd try and wave at everybody I saw. I'd try and, you know, see the same people. I would sit and stretch and enjoy the sun. It was hot at that point, obviously. Just enjoying it. Cause I just started thinking like, there's so much going on in the world that's negative. There's so many people who are worried. There's so many people who don't know what's coming next. So if I can take my lazy behind up to the park downtown, run a bit harder, wave, smile at somebody, talk with the same person I saw on the Tuesday before, ask them how they're doing, how's everybody, like those little things, like if I can make one person's day, if I can motivate one person to go a little harder, if I can see, you know, one extra puppy on a leash with a family, like these little things, like those truly brought me so much positive energy, Donnie. I will be honest, like there were days, and you said bad days sprinkled in. I will absolutely say I had a lot of bad days, a lot of very down days, a lot of things and external things and internal things that were just bringing me down, questioning. But for that 45 minutes, for that hour I was at the park, waving at somebody, smiling, petting a dog, like, you know, running and seeing like a flowing river, like these little things, like I started to appreciate on a level that I never did before. And that is another thing I've written down, you know, appreciate the little things, right? But that's the truth. Like the truth of the matter is we took a lot of stuff for granted. The truth of the matter is maybe Donnie never would have changed his workout routine if nothing happened. Maybe he wouldn't. Maybe he would have, but maybe not in the same rate. Maybe you wouldn't have become something that every single day you have to do or you don't feel right. Maybe that wouldn't have happened. Maybe I wouldn't have started thinking about investing and gotten way more into finances. And all of us who are listening, all of you who are listening also, those hobbies that you found, those little things that you do, like, please, please, please continue to do those things. Focus on those things. Gravitate to those people. Like, cling those people close. Continue to do those things that make you happy, because obviously you can have gigantic physical benefits like Donnie is explaining right now and feeling better and more positive and more confident. Those are massive things, right? Those are very important physically. But the mental growth that you get from pushing yourself, the mental growth that you get from looking your demons straight in the eye and overcoming them is one of the most empowering things people can do. And we had a conversation and then, you know, I want to get back to you. We had a conversation a few days ago, Donnie, and I want people to hear one of the things that we talked about was embracing those bad days and being vulnerable enough to admit them. Because a lot of people think strength is holding things in. A lot of people think strength is not, you know, putting a burden on somebody else. But in reality, the most strength you can have is being able to tell your best friend about those bad times, about those tough days, and rely on them, lean on them. They will uplift you. They will empower you to get back on the right journey. And that's one thing that me and you have been able to do for the last year. I mean, our friendship has exponentially grown in the last 12 months since everything has shut down, and we've seen each other 1/1000th of the time we saw each other before. A big part of that is the mental side. We just kept positive. We just kept pushing each other. We kept each other accountable, and we found ways to get better every day, even through the fearful days, even through the down days, even through the bad days. Just 1%. We've always said 1% better. So get a little bit better, a little bit more positive, a little bit more fit, and we're going to come out of it better. And the funny part about it is that was a thing a lot of people said. Oh, well, I'll get back to whatever I'm doing when things get back to normal. What does that mean, guys? To think that things are going to go back to what they were before, it's just a false attitude. That never happens. Like, the world moves forward. The world doesn't move backwards. So to continue to say when things go back to quote unquote normal, for me, is holding you back. Stop waiting on that. Don't wait on anything to go back to how it was. This is where we're at now. Take what's in front of you and make it the best you possibly can. I think that's the thing that I've tried to focus on over the past 12 months the most. And I think something that's made me the person I am today, despite the pandemic. Just taking what's in front of me and moving on.
You've hit on so many good things, and I want to make sure that I touch on everything you mentioned. One, the first point you talked about surrounding yourself with people that you care about and spending that time. Luckily, I was able to stumble into a situation where I fell in love, and I'll be the first one to say, I mean, I'm probably the sappiest guy you'll meet, sappier than an old tree in a forest, but I really, yeah, it's true. I'm not going to deny that, but that was another moment for me. And it also segues into what you said, appreciate the little things. I mean, when I first met Emily, I was first off, like, there's no way that she's out of my league. There's no way she's going to go for a guy like me, yada, yada, yada. We end up connecting. We actually talked on the phone back for the first time in June of 2020. And then after that, we probably FaceTime like once or so a week for hours on end. And I remember during those weeks when we wouldn't be, you know, on the phone, I'd be like thinking of what can we talk about? How can we continue to get to know each other, this and that. And I say love at first sight with no hesitation, because that's how it was for me. And then I later learned that it was similar. So it checked out. But in terms of spending time with people that you care about, during the fall, I decided not to go back to school in terms of living on campus, for those of you that don't know. And that freed up a lot of time for me to go up to New York and spend time with Emily and get to know her family. And we always joke like, oh, it's so fun being unemployed. You know, that was our joke. We had nothing to do. We had no jobs. You know, we were just hanging out with each other. But now when we look back on it, Emily starts her student teaching on Monday, March 15th for 2 months. I've obviously got a ton of stuff going on with Wingate and with everything else. And, you know, we joke around and we're like, remember when we had nothing to do, you know, but that's the thing. It was the conditions. It was the surroundings. Like we mentioned last Friday too. You know, when you're around those people and when you appreciate the little things and you realize that, that's powerful. That's so powerful. And to hit on what you said again, in terms of strength being that you can admit when you're not feeling good, without a doubt, I don't care if you're a man, woman, boy, girl, adult, child, if you can admit when you're struggling and look at yourself and say, how can I be better from this? How can I learn from this? There's never going to be a moment where you're not going to come out on top. And that may sound dramatic, but it's the truth. If you can sit there and self-reflect, that's one of the biggest things that I've taken away from this past year is self-reflection. Looking at yourself and intentionally trying to improve, whether it's in a way, like you said, 1%, or hey, I'm going to cut out X. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to start doing this. And if it's a drastic thing, more power to you, you know? But that's the thing too, like you mentioned, I'm going to do this and that when things are normal. Well, sweetie, sir, it's been over a year. I don't know if this is normal to you now, but you know, that's the thing. Like what is normal? You can't even if COVID wouldn't have happened, 2018 was not the same as 2019 because it was a different time. No pandemic, you know, that aside. So I like what you said about that, but you know, I couldn't let this episode go without mentioning Emily. I mean, that's the motivation now.
It's so fun. I think the most important thing you just said there was correct. And that is Emily's out of your league. No, I'm just kidding. I tell Donnie every day, this guy's a catch, and good things come to those who wait. And I think what happened is when you keep that positive attitude truly, and you know what, before I move on, I also want to address something. And that is the fact that a lot of people are like us, Donnie. A lot of people take a positive vibe all the time. A lot of people grew so much. But a lot of people did struggle during this time, and a lot of people are still fighting their way out of it. And a lot of people are still looking at the last 12 months as the worst time in their life. And I want to let those people know also, that's okay. It's okay that you struggled, okay? It's okay that you might still be struggling. It's okay that you feel absolutely burnt out from the last 12 months. It's okay that you are still reeling because people's family members have passed away. People's families have been ripped apart. Family businesses have been shut down. So many negative things have happened. And we are not by any means glossing over that. We are not overlooking that. But me and Donnie are two people. And for those that know us and for those that have only maybe met us once, I know that you guys understand that we always try and be a positive ray of light for everybody that we're around. We always try and remind the people who are in the most down in the dumps positions, family members have passed, the businesses have been destroyed, lives have been put on complete hold, finances have been destroyed, yada, yada, yada. We are always going to be the person who's going to lean on the positive. We are always going to try and give you as much love and support as we possibly can, even on the worst day. And we're going to point you in the direction of the sun. We're going to point you to a positive reaffirmation that you are going to be okay and that you're a warrior and that you're going to get through this. So I want to make sure that we really put a spotlight on those people as well, because not everybody's coming out of this thinking, oh man, what a horrible time, but I feel way 100% better than I did before. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, people know that we see you also, and we are there for you. Donnie posted a lot. I posted occasionally. We are two people who will absolutely take a call from anybody. If you're struggling, yes, please call. If you are dealing with something you want to meet up, please do. And we will socially distance and have a coffee with you and talk. Please, please, please never think that we're unapproachable. We are 100% there for anybody. And I think that's something that we needed to hit on. I think you hit on everything, but I wanted to make sure that we got that point across, because that is a lot of people's reality. And I think it's important that we remember that on the worst days, be there for somebody else. You know,
without a doubt.
When you talked about March goals, call somebody, you know, let them know you love them. Let them know that you're thinking about them. Ask if they're okay. Check in on each other. Like, that is something that we also need to remember, and something that we need to, moving through pandemic, no pandemic, the next 100 years of our lives, that is something that we need to take from this time.
I'm glad you mentioned that. And I didn't want to let that go unnoticed either, because I know how much I can benefit from simply just talking to someone. When Danny and I got together on Friday, you know, outside, distance, whatever, having coffee and just talking, it's one thing to talk over Zoom or on FaceTime, but when you get that energy in person from anyone, really, and especially someone that I at least look up to, like in Danny, as a brother and as a really close friend, but I couldn't agree more. I mean, my inbox is never full. My schedule is never too busy. You know, I'll always have any time to talk to anyone. And really, if I've talked to you once in our lives, if you haven't even said a physical word to me, I don't care if you reach out to me and say, hey, I'm struggling. I hope that my first response always is, how can I help? How can I be of assistance to you? And if you, not you, Danny, but you in general, if you don't think that way about life, then you're not helping at all. And if you're not here to help, then what are you doing? You know, I think that just derives from being selfless. That derives from being humble and taking off your hat of self-pride and saying, you know what, I may be having a good time right now, but there's just as many people who are having, you know, worse times. And I'll be honest. Yeah. I've, like said earlier, bad days sprinkled in. I had a lot of bad days that were more than just a sprinkle, but being able to rely on people like you and Emily and my family, I knew obviously how much I love my family first off beforehand, but being with them, especially every single live long day, I got to realize it even more, how valuable that is. And of course, with Emily, as time goes, we grow, and to be able to continue to rely on her and not necessarily, you know, but lean on her, and she also leans on me, it's a beautiful thing. But yeah, I couldn't say that anymore. On a lighter note too, one thing that you look back on that you have done during this time and you smile and think, huh, I didn't know I had that in me.
Wow. That's a tough one, man. I mean, I think throughout this time, I've always been myself, and that is something I'm always going to be proud of. I never changed. I never, you know, up and just completely changed my routine, my schedule, my nothing, because I know what makes me happy. I know that the little things, waking up and having my morning drinks, tea, coffee, my hydration drink, my green juices, everything, like those little things. But honestly, Donnie, I would be real candid and real deep here. In the end of July, when this was going on and I realized that the next semester was not going to be back in person, or at least fully, obviously, and it was not going to be back to normal and sports was not going to be back to normal, I was in a dark place. A really dark place. I did not know what was next. I did not know about getting a job. I did not know if I was going to be able to finish school on time. I had nothing. I'll be honest with you, Don. I had nothing to cling on to at that point. And I did not know what the next day would be. I was hoping to be a little bit more positive as the days went on, and it just wasn't happening. And I had no idea. And in those moments, I wasn't thinking about March of 2021. I was thinking, let's just get through the day. Let's get through the next day. Let's get through the next day. And truthfully, like being here now, looking back and realizing like the fall was one of the most fun semesters I've had. You know, I got to spend a lot of time shop, train, and we got to go to a couple of private beach trips, you know, staying away from people, obviously, but got to go to the beach. Like just getting through that. Like, I really do think we don't give ourselves enough credit during these times just to get through the hard days, just to get through the hard weeks, just to overcome those things that just mess with our brain, that just don't allow us to be our full selves. I feel like right now I'm closer and closer to becoming my full self, reaching my full potential, pushing to that point where I'm just completely and utterly content and happy and everything. I'm getting closer all the time. And honestly, I didn't know I had that in me, Donnie. I'll be honest. I didn't know if I could get through those days. I didn't know if when the summer ended, like, was I going to be around? Like, was I going to be mentally stable enough to keep going? I just didn't know. I had no idea. That was the worst stretch. And to be here now 7 months later and think, yeah, not only did I get through that, but I've grown more than in any other stretch of my life. Like, you know, got a job now, graduated, got multiple degrees, all these things. It's like, you know, I'm just happy to be happy. As simple as that sounds. I think that's what I'm most proud of.
Wow. That's, first off, thank you for sharing that. And second, that epitomizes you. I mean, to be able to get through that and obviously have the wherewithal to sit back and say, I did do that, and to give yourself a pat on the back, you know, deservedly so, that's awesome. I would say that for me, navigating through, of course, what kind of semester I had in terms of being part-time, I decided not to do a full load of courses just because I felt, I don't know, like I was doing myself a disservice if I would and not be on, you know, campus or whatever. One thing that I was really proud of in myself was when I ran a half marathon. And not to be shallow and say like, oh, it was just a running thing, but it was more than that. It was me being able to look at myself and say, I did this. I didn't throw up. I didn't collapse. I didn't get any massive cramps. I had some cramps, of course, but I remember as soon as I finished that, I let out this, I mean, almost like a Tiger Woods, just roar. And my mom even stepped outside and was like, was that you? Like, are you okay? Like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I'm just happy. You know, like that was one of the coolest moments of my life. And I had tears going down my face of just pure joy. My legs felt like literal noodles. I took a bath that night, an ice bath, and it felt really good. And I was just sitting there, you know, I'm a wimp. So I had my, like half my body in, half my body not, trying to adjust. But just to be able to sit back and take a few deep breaths, have some Gatorade and some water and be like, you know what? I just did that. And that's one thing that if you'd have told me 3 months before, even in the midst of my running, hey, can you run 13 miles in one run? I would have been like, yeah, maybe not, you know? And then once I got closer and closer, having Emily pushing me, who also, by the way, did it simultaneously with me at home on a treadmill, which is 20 times harder. So we have to give her flowers naturally, but that was a moment. And it was, of course, towards the end of the year. I did it on December 23rd. It was the perfect way to tie a bow on what a year it was. Of course, starting so rough, having a lot of rough points naturally, having a lot of good points as well, and then finishing like that. It was definitely a moment, like I said, where individually I looked at myself and said, I did that. No one helped me with that in terms of physical. So that's mine. But one last thing to tell our listeners from the man, Mr. Belsito.
Yeah, if I had to pick one thing, and honestly, Donnie, first of all, I got to ask, you know, you ran 13 miles. Be honest with us here on the Kicking It Family. Did you walk or go slow at any moments during that?
I mean, I probably did like a nine-minute pace, 9:15, 9:30 between
but
there.
But you kept going.
I didn't walk at all, no.
Unbelievable. So so impressive, man. I'm telling you, that's something I want to do by the end of this year. I mean, I'm giving myself some time here.
You know, as a joke, I got Emily and me magnets with the 13.1, and I have mine on my car. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I did that, and I'm gonna be a jerk, and I'm gonna have it on my car.
Nah, it's not a jerk. It's pride. And I've got a couple of my trophies under my clothing rack in my room. Yes, I have a clothing rack. And don't act surprised, listeners. So the most of them are hanging under there. But I've got a couple. I mean, I got my degrees hanging. I mean, you gotta be proud. It's not being a jerk. It's being proud of yourself. But yeah, I gotta run a half marathon now. Maybe before my birthday. Maybe on my birthday. That's going to be it. You guys heard it here first. I'm going to push myself. On my birthday, yeah. September 22nd, 2021, I'm running a half marathon. Probably not going to be running the whole time. I mean, let's be honest. Like, I'm not fit like that. Maybe by then I will. Anyway, but the last thing I want to tell people, and I mean this wholeheartedly, and this is something that is one of my favorite things to do, truthfully, and it's something that I've done a lot when I was young. I've done a lot now. I'm going to continue to do a lot. And after COVID, after we are allowed a little bit more freedom, I implore my friends, guys, please don't be afraid to take some time, invest the money in travel. Please, guys, you have no idea the level of motivation, the level of reinvigoration that you feel from seeing a new place. And it does not have to be some tropical island. You don't have to go to the Bahamas or Hawaii. Donnie will tell you, he went up to Long Island, places in the north. You see these beautiful new places, Virginia. It's beauty. The feeling you get from seeing a new place, new architecture, new environment, new culture. See that people are just people. It's one of the most powerful things we can do. I cannot wait to spend all of my earnings, all of my income over the next 25, 30 years of my life and well beyond on traveling. It is one of my favorite things. I've seen many countries, continents, and I can't wait to see them all. Antarctica, if they let me in. I cannot wait to travel more. I pray that all of my friends, all of our supporters, please do it. Travel. That is my number one thing I hope all of you do in this year and the years to come. Travel, see the world. It's amazing.
I can fully say that once we're both vaccinated, we're taking a trip, and God only knows where that will be. But I just want to say too that I really enjoyed this, being able to sit down and be truthful and be honest. Not that we're ever deceitful by any means, but hitting topics that really hit home for people means a lot for me. And Danny, as always, man, it's always a pleasure to be able to talk with you. And I think I take it for granted that you're my co-host, but I mean, this is match made in heaven in terms of on a podcast. I mean, I was thinking about it earlier. We could each easily have our own shows, but would it be as good if we weren't on each other's shows all the time, i.e. having our own podcast together? No, not at all. No. But again, episode 62 has definitely been one of our most touching and serious, but also hopefully uplifting episodes that I think we've done. Thank you if you've listened this far, if you've listened at all. We really appreciate it. And until next time, that's Danny Belcito. I'm Donnie Sherrell. Love you all. Thanks for kicking it. Peace.